Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, you are so faithful to us, faithful in love to send your own Son to overcome our weakness by becoming weak, shedding his blood on the cross, only to take his life up again that we may share in his life. Open our ears and our hearts by your Spirit that we may trust in you boldly and walk this life with Jesus, assured that death cannot hold us and we will live with you in heaven forever. We pray these things through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, why would you want to boast of your weaknesses? I know that's something that I don't bring to my lips very easily. In fact, most often I need to be prodded to be able to confess my weaknesses. It's just not human, is it, to actually be bold in sharing our weaknesses? Human nature, doesn't it work a different way? It works to try and look strong, resilient, and able to cope with everything that comes along. And it's no wonder then that people that experience severe weakness actually end up carrying deep shame. Well, we see something very interesting in the Apostle Paul here going on, because he's boasting, but he's boasting in two ways. He's boasting, first of all, to prove his authority as an apostle, and he says, I'm also boasting in my weaknesses. It's a rare combination. Boasting to prove he's an apostle? Yes, indeed. And he did boast. He boasted of the hardships he went through. And we can hear that he took delight in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties. All those things that came with being a man of God, called by God to bring good news and salvation to people through proclamation of the gospel. But here, when we get to chapter 12, after having boasted about these things, he then says, I'm going to boast, not that it does any good, of something very unique that happened to me. It was boasting about a vision, a revelation from the Lord that I received. And as he boasts about this, he's only doing so that those in Corinth and the surrounding area that had become believers in Jesus because of his first missionary journey there, they had false teachers come into their midst and were spreading things in their circles that were destroying three things, and this was what was concerning him. For their minds were being led away from a sincere and pure devotion to Jesus. They were preaching a Jesus different to the one that Paul had preached. They were receiving a different spirit from the one they had received and a different gospel from the one they had accepted. And so he needs to boast to show his authority from God in the midst of this context. So he tells them about a vision that happened. And it's interesting, you can see his humility coming out all the way along. This isn't something he wants to do. And he simply tells the facts. He can say quite clearly how many years ago that this took place. And then he talks about being caught up into the third heaven, paradise, that place where the saints are who have already gone before us, where they rest in the beautiful peace of being with God. And there, He doesn't know whether he was caught up like you see me now with body and spirit together, or whether it was just his spirit that entered that paradise, heaven, without his body. He doesn't know. But look at the humility. God knows, he says. God knows. The whole time he's in God's hands and he trusts in God. And so when he's there, he hears things that are inexpressible, that can't be said again. You see, he heard things there in heaven that words that we have just simply cannot match the meaning of the words he heard there. It's a little bit like when you have translations, and you all know I'm not very good with my German, but if you get a word like Anfechtung, Anfechtung in the German, how do you translate that into English? It doesn't work. And so he simply tells them the facts that he's had this revelation so that his authority is not questioned. You see, the false teachers there, they had, well, belittled him. They said, look, Paul's words in his letters, they're weighty and forceful, but in person he's unimpressive. And his speaking amounts to nothing. And it was because of this that he knew he needed to come over boldly to them with the authority he had been given by God. Much was at stake. And why did he do it? Well, firstly, the hatred of the false teachers, whom he called false prophets and super apostles, their hatred, for one thing, but also the gullibility of the believers at Corinth. They found it easy to fall into and follow false teaching. And so he wanted to call them back to the truth of God's word that he had proclaimed and his companions had complained to them, had taught them. And so the boasting is there, but note his humility. And as he shares his story of this revelation, so great is it. Why did God give it to him? A lot of people concentrate on what was it that Paul suffered at the Lord's hand in the flesh? And they try to drill down on that, but we're not told. That's not the important thing. The important question is to ask, why did God allow this weakness into Paul's flesh? Why did he bring it? And we're told that it was to stop, firstly, for him boasting. Boasting of an experience that no one else could claim. I don't think there's ever been a pastor here in the Tanunda region that could say they've entered into heaven and come back. There's an element there that they can't boast of that. But Paul could. And so in love for Paul and for the work of his ministry, he allowed this infliction in the flesh to be upon him. And even though he prayed 3 times for it to be removed, it remained. And so you've got to ask, why on earth did God allow him to go into heaven and experience that vision? And the reality is, Paul did go through huge persecution, huge amount of pain and sorrow for one who proclaims the gospel. What would hold him in those times? God had allowed him a special time to rejoice, to be certain of the salvation that is his and all people's, every single person who believes in Jesus as their Saviour. And Zoe, that today is you. We remember you today especially because that joy of believing in Jesus has been confirmed in your baptism. You have received the true teaching of the gospel. The Lord Jesus is your Lord and Saviour. He went to the cross for you. He carried all your weaknesses, all your shame, all your failure, all your missed expectations. And he's taken them on himself to a cross. And there he paid for it with his own blood. And you know that in that blood you have forgiveness and eternal life. He's risen again to live with you. But there's going to be times, like you and like us, that we feel the weight of our weaknesses. They're going to come. And when we feel the weight of those weaknesses, therein look back to your baptism. Because there you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. You can be like Luther and say, Satan, you have no claim on me. I am baptized. And he cannot stand against the work of God that he's brought to you through that water and the Spirit coming here together for you today. It goes on and on with you. And there's going to be times when you think, where's the authority of this baptism? Well, I'm going to encourage you, don't put the certificate away to fish it out. I'm going to encourage you, put that certificate in a frame. It's a personal reminder, the authority that God has through Jesus, and he saved you through that work of baptism, for baptism now saves. And this is what we can all rejoice in, each one of us who have been baptized into Christ. For surely we too could be caught up in boasting, couldn't we? And we would lose the point of our witness to Christ. And so in our weaknesses, God reveals himself. Not just to us, he reveals them to those around us when we boast of our weaknesses. What is there to point to Jesus if we say, I'm a Christian and I do a pretty good job, I pray, I read the Bible, yes, I'm on track, I go to church very regularly, I'm a very good Christian. Why, if you do all that, would you need Jesus? If that's what you think makes you acceptable to God, then Jesus hasn't done enough through his death on the cross. And we take away from the glory of what he's done for us. And so we get to boast in our weaknesses. Now, the Apostle Paul did this. If you go to Romans 7, you'll see him boasting of weaknesses. He says, the very things I don't want to do, that's the things I do. And the very things I want to do, I don't do. Who will free me from this body of death? There's his weakness. In confession to God of his failure to be able to live out a perfect life. But in that weakness, he boasts about it in a way of speaking it out quite clearly for one pure reason. So that the power of Christ can rest on him. And that's what he wants for you and me. When we see our weaknesses, we've got nowhere else to go but Jesus. When we see our failures, we've got nowhere else to go but to see the perfect one who did it all for us. And when we feel like we're covered with shame, we get to go to a place, a very important place, the foot of a cross, and there see where our shame was taken away from us onto Jesus, never to be put on us again. And so we can see how he works beautifully to show us our weaknesses, only in order to bring us hope with his strength of the gospel. Now, there's more practical things here to take into account too. For if we look at what has taken place for you this morning, Zoe, yes, you've received a candle, a baptism candle. I'm not sure what you're going to do with that baptism candle. We haven't had a conversation about that. But when you received that candle, you were told you're the light of the world. And everyone who holds Christ as their Lord and Saviour is the light of the world because Christ lives in you and you live in him. That's why you're the light of the world. And that light shines brightly more and more through our lives. The more and more we see our sin, the Holy Spirit brings us the comfort of who Christ is for us. And if you can imagine a flame, if I do it this way, showing us more of our sin, the Holy Spirit does that, but then he shows us more and more of Jesus. And as he does that, no matter what we go through in our weaknesses in life, our witness to Christ being our light becomes stronger. And so one of the things I'm going to encourage you to do with that candle is, again, not put it away. Put it somewhere where you can see it. And have it in the house somewhere where when you know you have failed, fallen short in some way, get that candle out. Ask your mum Karen or dad Dean to be with you, to light it, and to remind you that Jesus is your light. He's your Saviour. And he's done all that for you. For there you have complete peace. Even failures and sin can't stop you from being dearly loved by your Heavenly Father and being the apple of his eye. And so too each one of us. Some of us are a little bit older. Maybe we'd never got a baptismal candle. Didn't always happen back in the day. But you and I have each other. And you and I, in our times of weakness, don't cover it up. Draw on the love that God has for you in Christ. Draw on that love and forgiveness that's yours through his suffering and death. And let that carry you boldly into a place where you can share your failures with the person you've failed. You can share your wasted experiences with the person that you've let down. You can share your loss of using the resources you've been given for good when you haven't used them for good. And you can seek forgiveness. Not just the person's forgiveness, but in a fellow member of the body of Christ, ask them to bring you God's forgiveness. His faithfulness, his love, as we heard last week, is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness, and his faithfulness is what overcomes our weaknesses. And that weakness can't touch you now, even through death, because death hasn't got a hold on you through Jesus. You can boast of what he's done for you, that he is the one who's risen from the dead. And he is the one who's coming again to declare you righteous, forgiven, perfect before the Heavenly Father. So heaven, for it belongs to you through Jesus Christ. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from this time forward and forevermore. Amen.